something I've always been amazed with is that you grew up with 10. You had 10 total kids. Your parents.
I'm one of 10. Yeah.
You're one of 10.
Yeah.
No one does that anymore.
People don't. They don't got it.
They don't got that.
But
good
then
stuff.
Also, there used to not be standards.
Yeah.
So it was easier. It's like a factory that was producing a lot of merch.
Yeah.
And but had no safe, like a lot of people losing hands.
Yeah, they're like, no, there's zero safety.
Yeah, there's no requirements. There was that sign of like been 0 days since a Brennan got their feelings hurt.
I mean, so as an only child, as someone that grew up with no siblings,
yeah,
was there ever a moment where one of the you were the baby, right? Yeah. So you were the baby. Did any of the middle siblings ever tell you that they were jealous of you being the baby? Was there ever an honest conversation between siblings where they were
No, because what happened was it was 10 kids in 16 years. Okay. So,
damn. So there's some Irish twins.
I think there's a multiple.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. My mom was in labor with me. This is not a joke. My mom was in labor with me for 45 minutes. It sounds like a...
Yeah.
Not a joke.
But she had you the way assassins put together rifles.
Yeah.
Where she's like,
yeah, just like,
yeah, she's like, bang, yeah. Bang, let me cut it.
Ping. I like yeah. Hit a, I hit it like spinning. Ping, yeah. Spittoon. Yeah. So I was, there was like the older bunch, and then they were like jealous of me.
Were they a group? Was it grouped into, there's 10 of you.
What happened was we lived in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then my dad got a job and we moved to Chicago. My Joe, Sheila, and Kevin, the oldest.
Yeah.
Literally got like left back in Philadelphia.
No way.
Like go to school. And Kevin didn't have a place to stay for a few days.
This explains so much about
Kevin. Yeah, I mean. And then we moved to Chicago for a few years. And then we moved back to Philly. When we left Chicago, Tommy was left.
So you're just scattering Mary, kids.
Yeah, we would like go and be like, all right, we'll be right back, and then leave. No, wait. And go to school. And then we'd bounce as a family. they'd realize what happened.
Yeah, why don't you, your dad was like, why don't you go upstairs and see if the heat's still on?
Yeah, yeah,
and then he goes, that's like, yeah. He's doing that laugh to himself. He goes, I think we left something upstairs. Go.
Yeah, yeah. So,
when you come back to Philly, are the three kids like, hey.
Yeah, like, hey, what happened?
What the fuck? What the fuck
where'd
was
you
that?
Go? I've been at Wawa waiting.
Yeah.
So there was that thing, and there was a bit of like me and my brother Danny were like the softy twins.
Really?
They called, but at the same time, like my dad was still an abusive alcoholic. So it's like they also knew it was like a different form of psychological terror.
You were catching like there's an explosion at the abuse factory. You know, they always go like, there's an explosion at the flavor factory. You're like, at the abuse factory, we're fusing mental and physical. And you're oh, cool.
So that was like, and it was also, there were fewer people around.
Yeah.
So
you could really hone his craft.
You really got to see what was happening.
Yeah, because I bet with like, with that many kids, when you have an abusive parent, there's probably a lot of like a fog of confusion because you don't know who's setting them off or what's setting them off.
No one's setting them off.
Oh, that's so
it's
great.
All nonsense.
Yeah,
it's all nonsense. It's no like, well, that was justified.
Yeah,
it was never justified. And I gotta say, like, I had a clip do well about me and Jimmy Carr talking about my childhood, and like, I don't really think about it that much anymore.
Yeah,
like I was hung up on it, and then at a certain point you just get like,
you're a comic,
right? Self-pity is the name of the game. Self-pity, and then we get revenge.
Yeah.
And if you're good enough at it, they give you $1 billion.
God, it's like a mix of,
if you're pretty good, they give a few million.
And if you're all right, you know, you're at Zany's this
whatever
weekend.
You know, you have a pockets in your house, whatever. Three pretty nice cameras and good two big lights. Some memorabilia, he got an Amazon podcast background.
Yeah.
This is actually a curtain that you pull down.
It's just back and there's nothing there.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
All these tchotchkes?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Now I judge my parents and my mom specifically. I'm like, effort and level of difficulty.
It's a good
high level of difficulty, impossible situation, and she made a good effort.
Yeah.
You so were like the results were uneven, but like I just can't. It's like at a certain point, it's like, I don't know, man.
You know, in figure skating when they give like, if you try like a triple axel and you don't land it, they're like, no, but the degree of difficulty, you like tried the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Like 10 kids is the triple axel of parenting.
It's the one that you're not allowed to do. That,
they go, no. Like even now.
The black guy did, I think. A black person did it recently and they were like, it doesn't count.
I love the fact that black people are now taking over figure skating.
I can't wait.
It was like when hockey,
didn't happen with hockey.
There's a lot of black guys.
They're not taking.
They're not taking over. You know what? The one that made me
guys like, hockey safe.
I got go to sleep, my northern whites.
It's fine.
Hockey's all hockey right.
Safe. It's too cold, guys.
The one that made me smile was watching black kids take over skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know if they've again
not they taken over yet. Done,
yeah, they haven't. They're not putting up the numbers.
But give them time.
Yeah,
give them time. You said your dad was an alcoholic. Do you? My parents were alcoholics.
Cool.
Do you find
small
I get
world.
Annoyed?
Small world. Go ahead.
Yeah, I get annoyed with people who didn't have alcoholic parents. I get annoyed at them not knowing the chaos.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, so you just grew up in a house and you knew who was walking through the door every time? Fucking lame.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. I'm with you. Obviously, the petty part of me is like, I'm sitting in your lap right now. Yeah. But like, I can't say that I resent most people and most things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have.
That comes off.
I haven't quite gotten around to that one.
I just kind of do the thing where I'm like, fuck you.
Like, yeah, it's the upside of. I don't think normal.
Yeah.
I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Have you made peace with that? Have you just made peace with
that? Yeah, you have. I mean, like, Block Special, the last one was more just like feeling it. And now I'm like, the new special is called Crazy Good, April 9th. Because I'm saying, like, crazy's good.
Yeah.
Like, the whole back half is at, like, anything good in the world is from psychopaths and drug addicts.
Well, I always think about, you know, the best pound for pound fighter in the world right now, Bud Crawford. He's from Omaha, Nebraska. And you watch an interview with his mom, and his mom was like, yeah, growing up, I told all the kids in the neighborhood, if you can beat up Bud, I'll give you $10. No one could beat him up. And then you talk to him, and he's like, yeah.
And he looks like it?
Yeah.
He looks like his mom put a bounty on him?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're the toughest motherfucker in the world.
Yeah.
Because that's like, what it kind of, to elaborate on your point, the crazy is good. It's like, you learn your...
Anything good...
comes from something fucked
up. And then I go like, well, Neil, what are you saying? Are all comedians psychopaths and drug addicts? I'm like, so far.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, dude.
And then I just go down the list. And I was like, I could go endlessly.
I mean, my love of substances is, oh, I have to keep it tight. Because if I could, I would. I just go all in. I miss drinking, smoking cigarettes. I miss all of it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but the positive of it is going through it. And then you learn like, oh, okay, I don't
have to. Well, what you learn is that, I don't know if it's, the reflex, like the joke writing reflex, mm-hmm. is honed from craziness, but it doesn't leave if you're sober.
No.
It doesn't. You don't go like, well, think like a drunk person.
Yeah.
No. What would I?
Yeah.
This Baltimore Bridge.
Yeah.
What should I?
Dude, I was.
Neil. Think. Andrew Huberman. How could I possibly make a good joke about this?
There's not been a situation, and I was talking about this on stage last night. The Baltimore Bridge, there has not been a situation where I have not empathized with someone more than the guy on that ship that was just like, fuck, 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 fuck. It's like,
yeah, but you know, then he was like, fuck it, it's Baltimore.
Yeah, he goes, it's a big fucking port. Baltimore.
What did it get, $80? Yeah. Come on.
Okay, the wire wrapped 10 years ago.
Please.
Yeah, but that whole thing of everyone's like, because immediately everyone was like, terrorist attack. I was like, nah, it's just a guy fucking up at work.
It's big also, time. Yeah, it's not, it was a real accident.
Yeah, it was
it
mechanical
just looks
failure.
Like an accident.
Yeah, I mean, the lights went off on the boat.
It looks like a slip and fall. It looks, you know what I mean? It looks like a fail army.
instead of the glasses in the, yeah. the thing going down, it just be like a different one where you're like, oh fuck, dude, this fail army is perfect. Yeah, it looks like
a fucking guy slipping on ice and then a guy in his
Someone needs to hit the curb music when the bridge goes down. It's like,
But yeah, it's not like, it wasn't a professional job.
That's the problem with conspiracies now, is that they used to kind of...
There's not enough of them? Go ahead.
I mean, there's too many. Everything is a conspiracy. I know. Everything is a conspiracy.
Well, because people are dumb.
Yeah.
And they go, well, I'm not going to just buy the explanation. I'm not going to buy the media explanation, but I am going to buy the first... explanation to the counter, any old explanation. But I'm not a sheeple, but fucking give me the spoon. I'm gonna fucking eat that baby.
And I'm also gonna defend it. I'm gonna defend it to my family, to my friends. That's my favorite one, is where they go, not only am I on board, I'm gonna lose everyone around me because of it.
I got a website.
It's shocking to me how quickly people will just go like, well, that's a conspiracy on stuff that you're like, it's clearly
it's
not.
Conspiracies are supposed to signal your intelligence, and they do the opposite.
Yeah. Also, I think...
And they also signal that you don't really understand how complex things are and how no one can keep a secret about anything.
Yeah. And I think it's because of all the thriller movies of the 90s and 2000s. Pelican Brief? Yeah, like all those where they're like, this thing is so much
bigger. Straight all the way to the top.
All the way to the top. Katie and I always make fun of those movies. Biopics always do the line with musicians where someone will say something, like the Tupac one. He's like, I feel like I got all eyes on me. And they're like,
did they actually have that line?
Yeah, they had something like that. And then they always, we make fun of the biopics because they always go, that's it. That's the song. And then they're like,
And then Mike Myers in the script for Austin Powers, which is a fucking masterpiece. He had a thing where he's walking through the club. They cut it way down, but there was a thing where like Andy Warhol. Oh, he says to Andy Warhol, like, Andy, I think all people are going to be famous for 15. Like, he just does five of those.
He does the Forrest Gump.
Yeah, and then he cut it because it must not work. Man. But yeah.
Trick talking about Austin Powers, you can't bring it up without me saying, I wish Colin Quinn would have been Scott Evil.
Why?
Because that would have been such a different role and so funny. But Mike wanted Colin to be Scott
Evil. Is that true?
Yeah. He wrote the role of Scott Evil for for Colin Quinn.
I had no idea.
And then Colin turned it down.
Really?
Yeah, because Colin was like, I got my own thing. He was working on something. Mike works for Colin. Yeah, like... Colin said no to Scott Evil.
So funny.
And now you think about that scene where he goes, you know, I can go upstairs and get the gun and shoot them together. It's like a father and son thing. And he's like, it changes.
It's so funny because it's a meta joke on the joke he did.
Yeah.
It's like the real, because Seth Green did my podcast. We talked about it. Like
Seth Green's amazing, by the way.
He's great, but it's a different, that's very funny.
It's a different character.
Because Colin's kind of, is older than Mike, which is funny.
Yeah, but it would have been funny to have it. Like, Colin would have played such a great 30-year-old son.
Like a deadbeat son.
Yeah, it's just so like, fucking funny. Just a shithead from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But
like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know that. I just want you to be friends with me. He's like, I don't fucking know.
That's funny.
Omaha, Nebraska. I'm coming to the Omaha Funny Bone. April 12th and 13th. We've got four shows, so buy tickets now. I think one of those shows is sold out, but you could probably still go get tickets. And then the DC Improv. We are going to be adding a show Sunday night. We're going to be adding a late show. So right now, the first five shows are sold out, but we're adding a sixth on Sunday night. That's Sunday the 21st of April. And then I will see you in Providence May 9th through the 11th. I'm bringing my boy Andy Fiore with me. That's going to be Providence Comedy Connection 9th through the 11th. And then Dr. Grins in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Coming back to Grand Rapids May 16th through the 18th. All my dates are listed at dansoder.com. Go watch On the Road on YouTube. And thank you for watching the podcast. I love you so much. Guys, I'm unhealthy. I'm very unhealthy. You know that. I love fast food. I love candy. I'm a giant child, but AG1 is helping me become more healthy. I don't know if healthier, that's probably how you say that. I should learn that since I talk for a living. But AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Trust me, as a guy that's turning 41 and just had a physical, my doctor's like, you need to do more. And AG1's where I'm starting. They got prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. They do vitamin C and zinc to support my immune system, folate, magnesium, and a word I will never learn how to read for stress support. That word stressed me out. The third one, it's ashwagandha. Sounds made up, but it's real, and it helps you with your stress. AG1 is a team of doctors and scientists. It's tested for 950 contaminants and NSF certified for sport. It's formulated based on the latest science and maintains high quality standards. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, you know what it's going to be. What if it was a different product? No, it's AG1. It'd be funny if I turned midway through. And that's why I'm excited to welcome them as a new partner. If you want to take ownership of your health, If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/soder. That's drinkag1.com/soder. Check it out. Yeah, I mean, Colin Quinn as Mike Myers' son. I always like thinking about roles like that, like when they said that Eddie Murphy was supposed to be in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That's like fantasy booking.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. It's like Will Smith was supposed to be Neo.
Yeah. Well, Chris Farley was supposed to be Shrek.
Yeah,
and Cable Guy.
Yeah, yeah, and Chris, I think he recorded.
Yeah, Shrek. Chris Farley, they have the audio. They have like the test footage of him as Shrek.
Get ready for the re-release.
Oh, they're going to put it out. they just put out a new Mac Miller song, and Katie
did
was
they
like,
really?
Yeah, and Katie was like, how? And I was like, you got to ask yourself. It's a good song.
Yeah.
But that really is the only situation where you can go, it can only be positive reviews. Because if it's a negative review, you go, well, he didn't want that out.
Yeah.
Because he would have released it when he was alive.
I mean, if you're a real one, though, you'll attack him. And you'll say, this corpse. This corpse. He's a corpse and he raps like it.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it. And I hate Mac.
It's a great.
I'll send you a photo. I knew him a little. He came to see Three Mics.
He did.
Yeah.
That was a fun show. I went and saw that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
I saw it here in New York.
Yep.
And I brought a girl I was dating, and then she knew someone fancy there. And I remember being like, I'm texting Neil, like trying to impress her. And she was like, okay. She was like, plugged in on a different level, where she was like, cool. And I was like, Neil just texted me back. So, back in her apartment. It was one of those things where you try to impress someone and they go, yeah, like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for anyone that comes to a show.
Yeah.
You watch it and all that stuff. That's like not enough sacrifice. If you came, I fuck with you forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone comes to see a show,
yeah,
these shows are so hard. You got to sell 10,000 tickets.
Yeah, because you're doing
in it. In one city.
Because you're doing it for a month.
Yeah, you're doing.
I feel that way about anyone that watches a special. If they watch my special, like a comic especially.
Not good enough.
Not okay. Good
enough. No, if somebody watches, where do you fall on when people go, yeah, I don't watch comedy?
I think that's bullshit.
I do too.
But I also understand people that watch limited comedy. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to watch every special.
I'll watch a lot of them though.
But like, I'll put on a special for like 10 minutes, get the vibe
clean,
just, I don't want to hear any cussing, but like a tell drops a special and you're like, well, I want to see
yeah,
that.
Of course.
Cause that's actually the thing that I do now is I won't watch those guys in the club now. I'll just wait for the special. Yeah, dude, I'm fascinated with the sibling thing. I'm going to keep bringing it up.
Please.
Because 10 siblings is like, did you get hand-me-downs like a motherfucker? Was it all just...
Yeah, I didn't... yeah, I got hand-me... Well, you know what happened was my brother-in-law worked at the Spectrum.
Yeah.
And then he worked at the Worcester Centrum, which was the arena.
So he would go from Philly to Worcester?
No, him and my sister moved up there.
Okay.
So I would get a lot of like... Merch.
That's awesome.
It was great.
That's fucking crazy. So,
like,
awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Like real, like
like merch. A Pearl Jam shirt.
He was like the GM of the Centrum. So he wasn't like low down.
Hey, so that's your older sister that's married and then you're like young and you're like,
yeah.
Because my half sister was 12 years older than me. And that's awesome because they're not even like a sibling. They're like a junior manager. They're like, your parents are the management and they're like the assistant manager.
You don't really got to do that. They go, they're not going to notice.
Yeah, don't do your side work. You're fine.
Yeah.
Don't fold napkins. You could go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No ketchups.
It really is that energy. Were you close to like your oldest siblings in that kind of way? Like where they like almost felt like,
well, the oldest one's 16 years older than me. So we didn't, it was more, I'd see him once a year.
You just give like a,
I mean, he recently was like, we didn't really know each other. I was like, no shit.
Yeah, you were out driving. Yeah,
you were, I mean, he was a caddy on the PGA Tour.
Really?
Yeah. So I had,
for how many years?
Four.
Really? Anybody caddy big?
For Craig Stadler.
Okay.
Yeah, like he was number one on the money list.
That is, how much money do you make caddying like that?
Back then, he made 10%. I think, I don't remember, but Craig still, made million bucks 1 year.
That's what I was going to say. That's 100K.
Mind blowing. Yeah. I don't know if he got 10. I can't remember if it was 5 or 10, but like he could have gotten, he had to like gamble up front. Like, do you want it up front or you want to get it?
Oh, that's got to be like, wow, yeah, good's your mid game, your mid range game?
No, yeah, let's go to the
putter. Your approach all right?
Yeah. So I had that access, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then I had Kevin access here.
So did Kevin move from Philly to New York to do stand-up?
Chicago to New York.
So he make the first move? After you guys left him in Philly?
We dumped him in Chicago.
Oh, so
no, Kevin, we dumped him in Philly.
Yeah.
Then he went to Chicago, I think, to do stand-up. He
followed you guys?
Yeah.
Do stand-up?
He found us.
Is so funny. Following your family doing and being like, oh, you guys live here? That's cool. Whatever. Cool. I'm doing stand-up.
I'm doing a show this afternoon.
And then, so he started in Chicago, then moved to New York.
And then, so I had him, and then I had another brother, Tommy, who was sort of like a little younger, and he was an usher at Wrigley Field and the Chicago Stadium.
That's amazing.
It was unbelievable.
So you have all these older siblings with awesome hookups.
Completely.
You're getting free merch from the Spectrum.
I've been to 100 Cubs games.
That's amazing.
Not even kidding, to the point where I knew all the people he worked with, and they just open a gate for me.
That's insane.
At Wrigley Field. That's to the insane. Point where I brought, like, I don't remember who I brought, like my sister's friend, and they were like, what is happening?
How do you
like,
know this?
I don't know.
How old are you when this is happening?
10, 11.
That's like, that's every kid's dream.
It was like a dream. So like
you literally have the dream of showing up to a ballpark. And then
the Chicago Stadium.
Yeah.
And before Jordan, again, this is dating myself, but like, I saw a white girl mistake Michael Jordan for Orlando Woolridge. That's how long ago this
before
was.
Before Jordan,
Neil,
Jordan.
How old are you?
Yeah.
A girl said, hey, are you Orlando Woolridge?
And he went, no, I'm Michael Jordan.
Literally, and he said, like a biopic.
He goes, no, you can call me his airness.
Yeah.
Did you see the video of him? There's a great video of Jordan and his wife on vacation, and they're at like a restaurant, and a guy orders a bottle or like something expensive.
And he just drank it in one sitting.
Yeah. And they play the Chicago intro music for the bottle.
Did he think it
was funny? And he like, you see him look and smile, and you can see him being like, you could see it move something in him.
That's funny.
Because he heard that, you know, his whole career. And then he's like, oh, okay.
It's very hacky doing that. But sometimes.
If you get the right moment.
Sometimes. I remember reading a funny Michael Jordan story when, this is 20 years ago, without blowing the punchline, he was like at a bar and someone goes like, held up like, somebody had a Duke t-shirt on and he was like, Duke, baby. And Michael Jordan goes, I love your lacrosse team. And kept moving.
Great. Which I love is like,
he's a petty guy.
Yeah. I was watching, we were watching the NCAA tournament and Barkley was doing the halftime thing and Barkley was like being petty towards Alabama because he went to Auburn. And I was like, that shit, I love that shit. You can be the biggest guy in the world and you're still petty.
That's the point, the back half of my special is like, these people are out of their minds. Michael Jordan is out of his mind. But is he a good dad? I don't care. He's not my dad.
And people watched. I remember the Hall of, specifically Jordan's Hall of Fame speech. Mm-hmm. And there were people that were so blown away at how petty insane he was. And you go, well, he punched.
How do you think he punched
Steve Kerr in the face?
Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr was telling the story of how his father was murdered in Beirut. And Michael Jordan punched him. But he wasn't telling the story.
Oh, but that's so funny. I would have been like, dude, I thought it was because he wasn't practicing hard.
That would have been funny. Kerr hit him first.
I didn't know
according
that.
To the story, yeah.
Yeah.
He you pushed just hear him
the
in
story
my,
yeah. that Kerr got punched in the face by Jordan because he wasn't practicing hard enough.
Yeah.
And when you're young, they use that story as like, that's a man that's motivated. And then when you grow up, people go like, should he have done that? And you go, but you were just telling me it like it was positive.
I don't care.
Yeah.
He's not my, it's the joke. I have a joke about Kevin Hart. I've bit about how like why are comedians somehow like the ethical backstop for religion and politicians and corporations?
Yeah, it's
so wild. Now it's down to so the joke is like it comes to like a serious issue like transgender and it's like, well, what do the clowns think?
Yeah,
why has anyone asked the clowns like why is the? Let's ask the guy who played Rick James.
Yeah.
Does anyone know what he thinks?
Yeah.
Why is Joe Rogan? That's a failure way before it gets to him.
Yeah.
At like 10 levels of humanity have failed before Joe has any credibility about vaccines.
There would never once in school, the teacher would never go to the class clown to ask about the morale of class.
He's going
to
fart with his armpits.
Yeah, I don't know. He's probably eating glue in the corner waiting for a moment to say something stupid.
And again,
stupid.
Joe and Dave are smart guys, but like this, or is, I had an electrician goes, you know, Kevin Hart, is he humble? Like, and I was like, you're an electrician. You're not humble.
Yeah, dude.
Why does Kevin, it's insane.
If you could fill a football stadium with people that want to watch
you
talk.
How humble do you think you'd be? Out of curiosity.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero chance I'm going like.
I crush at the cellar and there's no talking to me.
Yeah, there's no like, oh, you go first when you're Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
You're like, move. Yeah. I'm the reason.
Yes.
I'm the reason everyone's here.
Correct. So, yeah. Or the other one is Ellen Nice. Like, she's a fucking, she's hilarious.
Yeah.
Ian Edwards had a funny observation. It's like, she's hilarious and that's nice.
Yeah. That's like the Steve Harvey letter where you're like, or Stern, that was the one that we always talked about at SiriusXM. Stern has this rule where, like, if he walks through the hallway, you can't talk to him, you can't look at him.
Yeah.
And by the way, I get it. Because you're like, the guy's done radio for 40 years.
There's nothing you could say to him also, that would be interesting.
At his level, he just wants to walk to the studio.
Yep.
He doesn't want to have everybody that he walks by wants to have a 20-minute conversation with him about how much he means to them, or
they're the reason he's the reason they got into radio and they love it and Baba Booey and
and he's like,
and I just listening to DC.
He's like WNBC. I just want to go to fucking work. I just want to fucking go to work.
Yeah.
And that makes complete sense. Once you think about it, once you think about like these athletes, you had one of my favorite jokes of all time. I think it was on Three Mics was when you said, you're talking about domestic violence in football, and you go, well, he just footballed at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the best jokes about that because it's perfect. You're like, telling these guys.
There's more. It's basically, there's more. I'm like, everyone who's great is out of their minds.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Michael Phelps, every gymnast, every girl gymnast, they don't grow. First of all, I believe it's a societal failure.
Yes.
These girls don't menstruate for 8 or 9 years. And then by the way, you're going to be, you're basically Italian granny height.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. And you're Italian granny scenario, height.
You're a big midget.
Yes. And by the way, you're only getting money if you come in first, and you're going to get money for 6 weeks.
That's nuts.
And then back to wherever you came from, it's insane.
The insanity that people don't acknowledge up front is what's aggravating. Because if you acknowledged the insanity of all that up front, that everything that followed, you'd be like, well, yeah, because we...
By the way...
We said it was crazy.
And they were getting molested.
Yeah. by the doctor. The guy's supposed to fix him.
The doctor, and I tried this joke. It was too. I go, imagine The Last Dance and Jerry Krause is molesting them.
Pippin's it's going like, insane. Well, I think I want to leave, but then he says I won't be safe.
So they're all like, and the I have a figure skating bit. Those girls look like
it's crazy. Hey guys, just want to let you know that this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now. How's your social battery been right now? Are you drained? Is your battery on empty? Is it on low? Do you need to refuel? It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, summer's coming around the corner, there's gonna be barbecues all over the time. Right? What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you've benefited from, you know, I'm telling you, as someone that's benefited from therapy, it's the way to go. You just kind of learn how your engine works better. You kind of learn how to fix your own engine. And in maintenance, you want to make sure your engine doesn't blow out. So make sure you check out BetterHelp to find a therapist that can help you learn your engine. That's all therapists are. They're just brain mechanics. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Soder today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Soder.
Well, they're in real trouble.
The gymnast one that always made me laugh. And it did make me laugh, even though it's a fucked up situation, was the dad in the Larry Nassar case.
Who went after him in court? Yeah,
that guy. Everyone has empathized with that.
Can you imagine? Would you ever be mad at your dad again after that?
No.
The guy, like, what a real one. He did it. That's all you want a dad to do.
And he did the awkward thing.
Lunge. He didn't look good doing it. Was it this one?
Yeah. And the part that would have won my heart over forever from my father is when he's trying to talk, but the bailiff has his knee in his neck. So he's doing that thing where he's going, "It's coming." And I'd be like, "I love you, Dad. I love you." So when he's looking up at you, he's like, "I'm trying to fucking kill the guy."
Happy Father's Day.
My dad wouldn't have shown up. My dad, I would have gotten molested. My dad would have been like stirring his drink with his finger, and he'd been like, "That was today." Just hearing those.
Well, what happens? You guilty or what?
He goes, "Will you fuck my kid?" Ah, shit. All right. Well, you know what? I think I can call off the poker game tonight.
Yeah. Are you good or what?
It's categorically different. It's a one or a two situation. If it's a two, I'll show up to court, maybe try to fight the guy. Also, if you are if you're one of her teammates and your dad doesn't go after him, you think like they're leaving the courthouse and like, she's going like in the car ride back, and he's like, "Hey honey, what are you thinking about?" And she's like, you didn't want to charge him at all.
That story, that's the greatest team in American history.
Yeah.
It's incredibly, you can't even make a movie about it.
No, it's too fucked up.
It's Rocky and Paulie's molesting him.
Yeah.
Mickey and Mickey are molesting him.
Mickey would have been like, "Come here, take your shorts off. What is this? Look at this little Italian wiener." He's like, "Are you sure this is going to make me a better fighter?
You're going to be a sucking machine."
Yeah, look at you.
Cut some of this.
He goes, "You know what champions do? They keep secrets, Rock. Champions can keep a secret." He goes, "Well, then I'm not going to betray you, Mick." Man, someone needs to write that movie. Rocky with a molestation.
Yeah, yes. He goes,
"Hey, yo, Apollo, does your guy make you feel weird at the weigh-in?"
I'm acting like I had nothing to do with this bit.
I'm fucking all in. I might write this up.
The ventriloquist. I'm like, "Hey, there's nice people here, Sutter."
Whoa.
hey, what are you doing?
All of a sudden, I'm fucking a jalapeno on a stick.
And I keep setting you up somehow.
Yeah, you're like, "That'd be crazy if they did that in Rocky." Do the voices.
Yeah. Like Rudy, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. He goes, I'll suck for Rudy.
So yeah.
But that idea, I had a joke forever that never worked about if you aim your child abuse correctly, you'll create greatness.
I mean, it's because it's the story, it's Spider-Man or or it's radioactive, you're either Spider-Man or you got cancer.
Yeah, that's it. Because the story that I always think about is Manny Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. Manny Pacquiao's dad used to take him, at 6 years old, would take him to the market and fight other kids for money. Like, he'd bet on Manny to, like, and you're like, that's, you know, of course he's going to win titles in four different weight divisions.
Yeah.
Because he's always.
Because he has to.
He has to survive by doing that.
Yes, if done correctly. I don't think anyone's ever done it. You can't really plan it. But although Tiger Woods is pretty close.
I mean, Earl Woods.
Yeah.
He planned it.
Earl Woods. And I would say it worked. And then at what cost? Obviously, it was worth it just for the documentary.
Yeah.
And when I say just for the documentary, I mean Rachel Ukitel sitting into the frame.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of part one.
Yeah, yeah. That you're like, holy shit.
What's happening right now?
Yeah. That Tiger documentary was insane. But he is exactly your joke. He is exactly your joke that crazy is good.
Yeah, that's, I have a beat about him.
Yeah.
The documentary should have been called Golfing and Fucking.
Yeah. Because that's
all he was doing.
But that's all he was around.
Yeah.
And it makes sense when I, you know, abandoned by my dad and the only time I would see him, he'd be drinking and being funny.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up to be.
Say no more.
Yeah. I'll drink and be funny.
Yeah.
That sounds so fun. And then people get her like, what do you think caused the alcoholism? You're like, it looked awesome. It looked awesome when I would go visit my dad and he was a bartender and I was sitting there watching him.
That's one of those things where, like, if I could do it, I'd do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If I could take meth safely, why wouldn't I take it? I don't think there's anything objectively wrong about methamphetamine. It's just, it ruins your family, but it's not,
it destroys your life.
It destroys everything that you care about, which is a real testament to how great it is.
But goddamn, is your apartment clean?
I mean, at the very
least. It's spick and span.
Because you've literally sold everything.
Yeah, you just have nothing and all you're doing is with a toothbrush cleaning that shit.
But yeah, I don't, people that like drinking, people that like doing, it's like, I would do it. I just don't have the thing.
And that's always something, because I'm at like 11 years without drinking and people are like, I think I expect you to kind of be like, it was real bad. And it was like, no, it was just ruining my life. But it was fucking fun.
Yeah.
It was fun the whole time.
I would eat ice cream all the time.
All the time.
If I could.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's not like, my body's a temple. No, it's not.
And then but the dichotomy of like having something fucking horrible inspire you to push you, like the Pacquiao, like Tiger Woods, like any of those people, it's like, well, there's that motivation. Like Barry Sanders, did you watch that documentary? His dad, the whole time, would say Barry Sanders was the third best running back of all time behind Jim Brown and him.
In front of him.
He'd put himself in front of him.
Yeah.
His dad never played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And we'd go, I tell Barry I was a better running back than him all the time. It's like, well, of course Barry Sanders is going to be
great. My grandfather apparently was an immigrant, and not apparently, like, he was an immigrant from Ireland, and he had seven sons or something, and my dad went to law school and all this shit, and my grandfather used to say, I got more degrees in my back pocket than you guys will ever have. Just like psycho shit.
Yeah.
And then, the bit I do is, it's like making a video game character where you get 100 points.
And what do you
and
put it in?
Certain people, when God was making Woody Allen, they go, how many points should we give him for comedy and filmmaking? He goes, fuck it, give him 100.
Yeah, give him 100.
And they go, that's not going to leave any points for not fucking his family.
And God goes, yeah, but I don't know.
And God's like, how bad can it get? Wait, he was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God, the daughter? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is, you know, like.
And I don't know. Then there is the exception, like a Steph Curry, and a joke I didn't do, which is like, I'd rather watch old Bulls games than new Golden State games. I'd rather watch old Michael Jordan games that I know the outcome of than fresh Golden State Warrior games.
Why?
Because it's just, he's a little stable.
Yeah, he's just like, hey.
He's a nice guy.
Hey, this is my wife, my kids.
I'm happily married. Ugh.
Yeah, you want to see a guy go like, I'll kill him.
Yeah, I'm going to
kill him next time.
There was a dunk Michael Jordan had on, I think, Kendall Gill. And then he like chases him to the fucking under the stanchion. And you see him like, oh, I'm going to. Everybody's here. I can't kill him.
I mean, Larry Bird, one of his old friends. And when they see him, he's like, fuck you, motherfucker.
Fuck you, bitch.
Fuck you, bitch. And you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
I remember when I was, you know, my mom was. She's a good mom, but she would say shit sometimes that you're like, it's in the vein of that where she would go like, just remember whatever you do in this world, there'll always be someone better at it. And you're like, well,
your mom would say that.
Yeah. And you're like, well, all right. That's a good thing to tell a kid.
Yeah, I guess it's,
but banned. It worked. Cause you're like, there's a humility in a way that I think I have because of it where I'm like, well, I'm not shit.
Is that helpful?
At times when I'm feeling myself, it's a good way to come back down. But then I think about the other side of it of like, well, maybe that has held me back some, not being like I'm the best. Cause you know, Customato, when he would train Mike Tyson, when Mike Tyson moved up upstate with Customato mm-hmm. and the Catskills, he would make Mike Tyson walk around and saying, I am the greatest fighter of all time.
He would also, he did hypnosis.
Yeah. But that's like,
yeah,
that's where I think maybe I could have benefited more from some of that instead of being like, ah, someone's better at
this. I mean, and sometimes when a lot of it is like, if people are better at something than me, a lot of it is me going like, yeah, but it's in some ways there's a jealousy in my butt.
100%.
Not even in some ways, in all ways.
Always. And what's crazy is admitting jealousy, I think, has somehow turned into this like weakness when it's an honesty that could probably help a lot of people. If you're like, yeah, I'm jealous. Cause I think everyone feels it.
Yeah. I think people are jealous. I think part of the thing of like Joe and Dave and Ellen, Kevin, all these people, like, it's like, cause you're jealous that it's the thing I always say about Kim and Kanye. They're doing the thing that you want to do better than you could do. Kim Kardashian is the most successful porn star
of all time. There's not even a close second.
It's not a close by billion a factor dollar. Of $1 billion.
Yeah, she made $1 billion off fucking on film.
And Kanye is a 100-year talent for music.
It's unbelievable.
So people were, when they would shit on him, it's like, you're just jealous. You want to go viral. What do you want? You want her fame and you work at Chipotle.
Yeah.
So, and you're like, of course you're going to, yeah, this bitch, what's film. Even her talent? What's your talent?
You go fuck on film.
Why did you spend an hour yesterday opening a YouTube channel?
Yeah.
You
sell a sex tape. No one's buying that.
No one could have done what she did.
No. Her sex tape was shot by her mom. That's like that crazy.
It wasn't shot by, but it was produced.
That's still.
Look, still if insane. We're going to give credit.
Ray J
was the cameraman.
Ray J really did the crew part. Yeah. And then the star of the film.
Good composition.
Yeah.
Lighting, but, I would have gone up an F-stop.
This is just your director brain talking.
I would have gone up an F-stop.
I don't know. I probably would have shot.
Yeah.
You're like, you're doing this thing.
Yeah. And then
I say, we go, exactly. Probably would have done a couple different camera angles on it.
Yeah.
I always think of that because I always wanted to do that thing where I never admitted I was jealous. And then it ended up becoming like a back end, sort of backing up, and it wasn't getting out of me, and it was like kind of turning toxic without going like, yeah, I'm jealous of that. If you just like kind of let it out,
hard, like a fart. I think the hard part of the sort of, not the silent killer, but there's like class differences in comedy, and they're not necessarily money.
Yeah.
But there's class differences in terms of like where you're streaming, how many tickets you're selling.
Oh, ticket sales are the number one thing.
Yeah.
That's the class differential right there.
And like, it's just a little, people who do arenas kind of want to just hang out with people who do arenas.
Joe List had my fucking favorite line. And he said it last night at New York Comedy Club where he goes, I'm doing better than 99% of comics. And the 1% are my closest friends.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts. He's like, mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, there it is. There's the whole thing where you're like.
And it's hard for, he's like the junior, like, hey, Scooter.
Hey, good job, buddy. You sold out.
You sell 1,000 seats?
That's me. Me and
Joe.
How
much radio did you do, little buddy?
Yeah, I'm surprised Burr doesn't talk to me with both his hands on his knees like, hey, buddy. Oh, you sold out 3
Burr
out of 5.
Actually is very good about not. In like letting that sink in,
really,
in my experience,
yeah,
he doesn't.
Know.
He's the humblest person that's ever done Fenway Park.
It's a good point.
Like
It's a good point.
He did Fenway. He doesn't run the light, and he puts in for spots.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Putting in for spots and not running the light when you're that big. Ray Romano does that. Yeah. Well, he'll call the seller and go, is it cool if I do 15 minutes? Louis, I remember, even before he got in trouble, one time Louis came to the seller, and I was either up next or two, and Louis was like, is it cool if I do a set? And you're like, yeah, you're like one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Go. It'd be incredible if, like, I said that the seller is the only place where it's the only job where you show up to do your job and your hero is sitting at your desk and you're like, oh, well, you should probably do this. Like, I don't, I'll get to it later.
I don't know if I ever told you this story. Chappelle went on before me.
Yeah.
And then I think Artie was emceeing. And he brought me up as a co-creator of Chappelle's Show. And I go, you know, normally that's a good credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you saw the other guy.
When the other co.
Doesn't really mean as much.
Yeah. You're like.
You want Skittles or the guy who helped create the recipe?
Yeah. This is the man who perfected the lime Skittle. And then the guy that bagged it. And you're like, oh, that's fun.
Oh, okay. No, go ahead and talk, little guy.
My thing, my jealousy was always like, I was never in with the cool kids of comedy. And by that, I mean like the Brooklyn, you know, like Hot Tub, like those shows are like Meltdown in LA.
Yep.
They like never fucked with me. And at first I was like, you know, spiteful, angry, I'll show you.
Yep.
But then when you realize it's jealousy, you go like, what am I mad about? Like, I'm mad about not getting on a show. I'll go get on another show. I could still go do comedy. But it is
the hard part of the job. Is and the really aggravating part of being a comedian and being in the this whatever is people, you have to ask people, hey, do you think I'm worth speaking to?
Yeah.
Do you think I'm worth speaking to in public?
Yeah.
And sometimes they go, I don't
at all. Don't care.
I don't want you on my podcast. Yep. I don't want you on my TV show. Yep. I don't want you in my movie.
That's all auditions. Yes. All auditions are going like, am I worth something? And they go, not this.
Turn around. No.
Say it again. No. Nah,
I thought you were, but you're not.
No.
And that's the part that is taxes the soul.
Yes. That's the part where you kind of have to, you know what it is? That's the...
But I will, in your defense and my defense, real quick, is if I might cut you off.
Yeah.
Longitudinally, you'll come to realize that you are a good long-term stock.
Yeah.
In that there are a lot of the people that, you know, Meltdown or Hot Tub.
Yeah.
I don't even know if some of them are still in comedy.
Well, I'm not going to name names, but I know one specifically that was like, had a lot of heat in that kind of situation and just doesn't sell tickets. And it comes back to that where they go like, well, this guy can't even do an hour on the road.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, because he's so used to being like niche cool in a very small situation that you go like, all right, well, now can you do it for an hour?
And that's what I've been enjoying recently.
Yeah.
Is like, huh.
I'm good at this.
Turns out, I thought everyone was better than me.
You know what it is? It's like, it's restaurants, right? And you have a restaurant that doesn't get a Michelin star.
Right.
And you don't, but then you go like, oh, but we're always full and people always are excited to come eat there. You know, I think about like people who work in like law firms or people who work in offices. I do. I think about it all the time. I think about it all the time.
Why?
Because okay. I think we are not special. And so when people listen to podcasts and people are like, I don't want to hear comedy talk.
We just have to be better than work. That's the whole podcast, especially stand-up. You got to be better than like
you just have to give them something to listen to that
while in the background of the thing that they're getting through.
Exactly. This is the morphine to get you through the thing.
Yes.
Just like, hey, put on a hang. We'll talk about stuff that isn't your job. But all this stuff to me exists. Obviously it does.
We're the guys who go to hang out at people's work.
Yeah.
Like we hop on the counter. I'm like, so what else?
What's going on? What do you gotta do? Like a 90 sitcom?
What do you do? Anyway, and then we
just eat an apple.
Yeah.
And you go like, oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Oh, didn't give you that project. You know what? I'm going to get out of here. And you're like, this guy, this rascal.
BetterHelp. Promo code Neil.
Yeah, well, we're just hawking.
Yeah, we're just keeping them company.
Yeah, wash your asshole.
Yeah,
and then also like this sucks. But I always think like,
but these kind of conversations,
I wonder if they help someone who's at a law firm or at a business, and someone got a promotion, and they're like feeling this, but it's never been talked about in their field where they're like, so they're supposed to keep that jealousy under wraps because maybe they think like, oh, if I
I think it's a fairly easy mindset to get in. I also think there's a thing where Drake makes you feel like you made it.
Yeah.
And no one understands you anymore.
So here's
Even though you still work at a gas station.
Yeah, you're driving for your late shift.
It's like your bonus. Yeah. You got bonused, and like ever since I got that bonus.
Yeah, it's like a high. Different. Like it gets you high off his confidence that you're like, I am the man, Drake.
Yeah.
Do you think Kendrick's diss at Drake and J. Cole, do you think that comes from jealousy?
I didn't hear the diss. It was an interesting thing where I clicked on the button.
By the way, this is the whitest that this conversation can get. This is the whitest.
I have a nice Kendrick thing, which is I do one of his songs in my special, and he cleared it.
Which song?
Mad City. Yacht, 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 yacht. I have like I say it a few times.
And he cleared it.
He cleared it, but I didn't want to pay for it. But I just wanted him to clear it.
That's it. That's such a
feeling. I was going to close credits with it, but it was too much.
I mean, I went through that with Jimmy Buffett on my HBO special.
Why'd you just ruin my story?
Jimmy Buffett is the Kendrick Lamar of alcoholic rock.
Why get that on me?
Yeah. You splattered on me. But there's a feeling of when someone clears something.
Get that partition.
No.
So he doesn't.
Set it up. there's a feeling when you clear something that you go like, it's like the feeling in high school when the cute girl talked about you.
Yeah.
And you go like, so they know about me?
Let me get this straight.
What did they say?
Like, and it may not have ever gotten it, but I mean, cleared it.
Queens of the Stone Age cleared my favorite song of all time for my HBO special, and that's what I ended up getting. And in my head, I'm like, I wonder if they watched the special. I wonder if they thought it. And I'm like, no, it's a guy at a publishing company
that
was like, yeah, we'll do that. We'll clear that.
You know, Josh likes comedy.
I mean, he's my favorite.
What they cleared? No one knows?
In the Fade off the album Rated R.
How much?
I don't know.
Interesting.
HBO didn't tell me. They just were like, it's cleared. We got
it.
But he's my favorite musician of all time.
Josh
Homme.
Yep.
And I love everything he does. From Caius to Queens to Desert Sessions. I was saying that to Burr last night at the Patrice benefit. I was like, you played drums at a benefit that Josh Homme
did. Week, right?
Like just earlier this week.
Yeah.
And Burr was like, yeah. And it was with two of the guys from Queens of the Stone Age. He goes, technically you were in Queens of the Stone Age for a song. And he's like, nah. And I was like, no, I'm counting that.
Yeah.
I'm counting that.
Josh, those guys are great.
Yeah. But that's like the thought that even Kendrick watched the special.
Yeah. No, I wonder if he watched the clip or what I dealt with him a little bit in the past.
Man. He's the man.
He's a fantastic rapper.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite artists overall, just in general. But when he comes out with that, because, you know, we're talking about jealousy.
I think competition. It's a weird. I think it's probably if you're him, you get tired of being lumped with them and you're kind of going like, I'm better than them.
Yeah.
It's
that Jordan thing.
Yeah. It's the Clyde Drexler.
Yeah.
Is like
he's like, I'm not Dominique and Clyde. Yeah, like,
fucking, what are you talking about?
I'm Michael Jordan.
I'm not Orlando Woolridge.
That's what it is.
Basically. Yeah.
Which leads us to the, I mean, what a lead in. New specials out April 9th.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Always been one of my favorite comics to watch. You are fucking hilarious. You have jokes.
If you don't want any of my emo shit, there isn't any.
Yeah.
If you don't want any of that queer emo shit I be doing.
Dude, I love it. I love this is like Kiss wiping off the makeup. You go, no, we don't do that anymore.
DM'd me after he saw the show and was like, where were you? A guy was upset that I wasn't sadder.
That's so funny.
So I opened the show by going like with a warning.
That's so funny.
Like, hey, if you came for me to be sad, I have some bad news.
I'm going to have to do that with Macho Man impressions.
Yeah.
Like, no Macho Man.
Sorry, guys.
It's just me talking.
Yeah.
I'll do other voices, but None of Randy Savage.
Yeah, bonus footage, whatever, for the Patreon.
You fucking rule, Neil. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.